Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Jen, who is here to speak with us about something that's very inspiring and we're hoping quite supportive to folks during these very interesting and challenging times. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Jen. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. And you, me?
Yes. It seems like it's great. All working. Yay.
No, exactly. We don't take much for granted these days, which is really one of the, you know, we always talk about their gifts and everything, and this is no exception. In fact,
sure.
I was thinking as we were getting on this call how the content of what you're going to be talking about and offering folks is so helpful, and I also love, I know a little bit of the background of how the process of it all came together, which also feels so perfect just in terms of just that principle that there are gifts in everything, really.
Yeah, I think so too. Should I jump right in, Jen?
Please. Yes, please do.
So the offering that we wanted to talk about tonight is that we're going to be offering coming up here right away for the next 4 weeks, starting on this Thursday, an at-home yoga practice, given that, you know, a lot of us are now home indefinitely for, you know, given these times, right, that to have that support of being able to have some yoga at home. So I can talk a little bit about kind of the structure of what we're going to offer, and then, yeah, maybe we want to look at the process, as you said, of sort of how that,
yeah,
how
perfect.
Life
that would be
it too.
Absolutely perfect. Yes, please.
Okay. So really to support all of us at these times to have access to yoga in a way that we can be at home and be safe and all of that. So the way it will roll will be every Thursday is the vision right now. Over this next 4 weeks, people who are interested in participating will receive two practices a week, and they'll receive one that's they'll be pre-recorded, so you can use them, you know, wherever you are in the world, whatever time is going to work for your life. We've been talking a little bit, right, about setting up kind, compassionate schedules now that our schedules might look really different. So you could work this mm-hmm. yoga into that, perhaps. But there'll be a shorter practice, so maybe like a 15, 20-minute kind of a thing, and then a longer practice that might be anywhere from 30, 45, 60 minutes. So each week you'll receive those two new practices to support you as you're at home in having yoga, and yoga specifically for Sangha. So obviously privileged environment because it's this pre-recorded practice that you practice in your own way. And also we'll be weaving in different themes from things like the year-long retreat and other themes that we work with in our practice to really make it specific to our Sangha and our practice.
I love that, Jen. Wow, that is so fabulous. So in other words, I could use it every single day. I could use it multiple times a day. I could do both practices, the short one, the long one. I can use it in any way I want. And then the next week, there are new practices to begin for that coming week.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Mm. So, yeah.
And I love that piece of, you know, it is yoga for Sangha and weaving in those themes and what we're looking at a Sangha and that kind of thing, which is so such a lovely thing that we do on New Year's retreats. And I think it's one of the things that is so powerful and beneficial that people talk about doing yoga. You were on Good News Updates talking with us about that earlier this year. And just that place of where, you know, even people who feel like yoga is not my thing, I don't really do yoga, they end up expressing so much gratitude for the yoga that they experience on the New Year's retreat because, of course, like anything, there's an idea of it, but then the actual experience of it is so lovely. And boy, is there, especially in times like this, to me, something like a yoga practice where you're really slowing down and attending to the body and getting to be with the body, to be with yourself, to be with the breath, it's so important and so supportive.
Exactly. And that's the vision, too, is that it be a support, whether, you know, so a gentle awareness practice focused take on yoga, so that whether you have a practice of yoga already and you're just, you know, excited to have that home support and these kind of practice themes, or whether you are a little newer to it or not quite sure, you know, all of that, that the idea is that it will be a support either way. But yeah, boy, Jen, what you said, I've been looking at that a lot too, about the support for the body, you know, always, but we talk about so much in practice, the way that getting into the body just is so helpful to get us out of all of the, what I project, you know, so many of us are really up against right now, that place where the voices are just so activated, right? And so to get out of that conversation and get into the breath, feel the feet, feel the body, you know, those places, and to have that support to care for our health and also to really be able to be with the body in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true. I mean, as we talk about in practice, the body is in the present. It can't be anywhere else. Only the mind can go back to the past or worry about the future, right? But the body is here. And so it's such an ally in getting here. And boy, I mean, talk about the gifts. There feels like there's so many potential gifts for us to see. But, you know, this is a time where it's really obvious. There's no point in being anywhere else but here because we truly do not know. And so being in the body, in that support with as much just relaxation and just here with this person in this house, right? I'm not going anywhere, literally, figuratively. So what a great thing to have at our disposal to practice at this time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I know we, you know, there's not a lot of time, but just if you, you know, to speak quickly to the process of it too, if that's helpful, Jen.
Please.
Yeah, so, and it's just been such a great workshop on the process level. You know, it's something that we've talked about for a while of, oh, yeah, to have some yoga offerings for Sangha. It's been talked about a lot and seems like a lovely idea. And you know, for me, I've really watched that process of just all the, I'm going to get to that soon, or just all the resistance, you know, and all the confusion, and gosh, you know, what the technology.
It'd be so hard and way too surmountable. I mean, no way, just forget it,
I'll have to look at that next month, you know, all those process things of resistance, basically, right, that it just, seems hard, seems confusing, whatever, and then to see something like, you know, what's happening in these times, and the process for me was that place of, wow, you know, if there were ever a time to just, you know, drop all of that and let's just make sure that this is available. If this is a support to anybody, great, let's get that out there. So we're going to get over the, you know, whatever the voices have going. And then you were on a call where I talked about this, Jen. I mean, to see that in like 24 hours, you know, the technology is pretty darn clear. I mean, you know, there'll be things to learn, I'm sure, as we go, but, you know, it's completely possible. It's not this whole thing that the voices say, and to have that, you know, love of others, immediacy of, wow, you know, let's make this happen. Okay, there it is.
I was so inspired hearing you speak about that. Yeah, just that place of, it's such a good mirror to realize, wow, all of that is so clearly only designed to stop me, to keep me in misery, to make it seem like this huge deal, so that we never just look to see, okay, well, maybe it is a big deal, I don't know, but what now? And then when something like this happens, so that the now is right here, it really is right now, we suddenly realize, I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that, and I can do that. It works.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, really amazing to watch this all that stuff fall away and like, yep, let's do this. And here we are. Yeah. Amazing to see.
It is amazing to see. It reminds me of what Cherry was saying. I think it was just on last week's radio show. It's amazing how much has changed in 1 week, right? But that was the very beginning, I think, of all this happening. And then we were talking about the National Guard or something that was, you know, getting food out to thousands of people in New York who were already in lockdown. And just that place of like, what's possible when we have to? And that in times like this, to really let that be the gift of, okay, well, we're gonna find out all kinds of things we never even thought of because we didn't have to, because, you know, it seemed too hard, because whatever. But this is could be a wide open invitation for us to look at things in a really different way. And I, for one, I'm so excited. Like weeks before any of this started happening, I thought, gosh, we've got to get those yoga things from Jen. I really want that. So I'm quite excited myself. So
Well, me too. I think it'll be great fun and a support. And I think the vision is too that, you know, we'll see how it rolls, but if it ends up being a model that's useful for people, that we can continue after this 4 weeks. But we'll play with it for this next 4 weeks and, you know, enjoy on our lockdown to have some practice together. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. And the word that I hear is that it will be open for registration tomorrow, is what I'm hearing.
Okay. Great. Yeah, oh. I heard rumor it was going to be on the website soon, and then yeah, and I believe the way we're going to roll with it, people can check it out. But that you know, if somebody's hearing this a little bit, if they don't hear it live, that we're going to keep that registration open at least for a while, or maybe through the whole time. You know, okay. So even if somebody did hear this a little bit later, they would get the practices from week one and week two if they're signing up, you know, a little bit later mm-hmm. into it. So we'll make that available so that whenever people, you know, kind of get the info, they're most welcome to get these practices.
Okay, super. All right, great. Well, Jen, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, and so much gratitude for all you're doing to put this together for all of us in this time.
Thanks so much. It's amazing to see what happens when we get out of the way and life shows away, huh? Thank you.
It's so true. It's so true. All right. Good night, Jen. Take good care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Kind of makes me wish my name were Jen. Then you could say,
"Thank you, Jen."
All
our
Jen.
Next caller is Jen. Yes.
Yes. Huh? Yeah. So I just want to comment before it goes completely out of my head. That last thing that Jen, yoga teacher Jen, said about it's amazing what can happen when we get out of the way and let life lead the way. That's kind of peace quote, isn't it? Because that's what this all is. That's such a demonstration of that.
Yes.
It's
amazing.
It's so hard. I don't know. I think she said confusing, and you know, there's all the resistance. And yeah, I'll get around to that someday. Yeah, probably so. And then, okay, people are trapped in their houses. Okay, and so all right. Well, then, how are we going to do that? Life and boom, done.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes. And it all happens right away. And life's
done. And it all happens. Right. It all happens. Yeah. Because life knows how to do everything, as a matter of fact, because, of course, life is doing everything. And then the ego's saying, oh, no, I don't think so. Oh, that's going to be too. But it's not. It's not too. It's just right there.
Yes.
And that's good. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Let me tell you one of the gifts that life has given me as I'm sheltering in place
please.
Here at home.
Yes, please.
My new office is my second floor bedroom, and I'm looking out the window at a tree here. And all day long, a hummingbird has been busy making a nest, not 6 feet in front of my eyes. It's just incredible. Just every couple minutes, bringing a little bit of material and putting it in place, and it's just extraordinary.
Wow. Little hummingbird has no idea that the world, the economy has collapsed, and there's a pandemic, and global climate change, and has no idea. It's just time to build a nest. Going to have some baby hummers.
Yeah,
that's such a beautiful reminder, huh?
Yes, extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, unless you want to start.
No, please. No.
Okay. In stressful times, we can turn to practice for support, and one of the most compassionate tools we have is recording and listening. The new 6-week conference call retreat in recording and listening will teach 6 key skills of the recording and listening practice. This new class is on Wednesdays beginning April 8th.
Right.
Yes.
It's another one of those things, you know, we just don't have time to do those kinds of things. And by golly, now we do.
Yeah. Now we do, yes. Reflective Listening Buddies offers weekly support for conscious compassionate awareness with practitioners required to show up for themselves and their buddies to practice being present. The new quarter starts April 15, and the deadline to register is April 1st.
Right.
Yes. Is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for our new Keeping Commitments Buddy program starting April 15th. Participants will be paired with a partner for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Well, all right.
Okay. All right, then. And a few reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can get in the queue and make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And conversation on one topic, please. That's about 5 minutes in length. It's great.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, I think we're ready, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill.
Hi, Michael.
Long time no hear your voice. How are you?
I know. I'm good. It's
What's
nice to be on.
Yeah. What's happening in your world there?
Well, it's pretty similar to other places. It's pretty similar. But, I just had, you know, this morning I was on an early morning call with a support group, and it was just a beautiful thing. And I was on the radio show this afternoon, which was a beautiful thing, and I'm on the call tonight, which is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I needed a little help today, and I got it from a couple phone calls, and I helped a couple people in a couple phone calls, and, and I still cried today.
Uh-huh.
So it's... it's just letting it all happen, I think, on the inside.
It's kind of a little theme here of, I don't know how to say it, but just seeing the goodness. In a way that, you know, it's always there, right? You've always had people support you. You've always had practice. But it just has a different feel to it now,
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Yeah.
It's there's nothing casual anymore.
Right.
Right? It's not a and I got to talk to this person. And it was nice. No, it's everything is more immediate. It seems.
Yeah, yeah, and I tell you, I've talked to people I haven't talked to in years. And seeing their faces on, you know, these Zoom meetings, and I mean, it's just there's so much goodness, like you're saying, that's coming out of this, that connection, that has, mm-hmm. you know, that feels very, yeah, it just feels sweet, you know, it just feels a lot sweeter.
Yes, yes, I've gotten so many messages from people, you know, not. Friend kind of people, or not Sangha kind of people, but people in the world who say, mm-hmm. now take care of yourself and take care of each other. You know, so let's take care of each other and take care of ourselves. You know, it just seems to be kind of the theme of it's not just me any longer. It truly is us.
Yeah. 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 And just really, you know, I went to my little food co-op today, and, you know, God bless those people. I mean, they're one of the few people who are still open and feeding people, and, you know, still have smiles.
Yeah.
And you know, they figured out how to do it in a way that's you know, safest for everyone. And yeah, front lines for sure. Who would have thought that the grocery mm-hmm. store would be the front line in something?
Right. Right. As heroic in its own way, as heroic as the medical people.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's, yeah, I was reading a thing today about Chef somebody. I wish I could remember his name. But apparently he has a lot of restaurants, especially around Washington, D.C. And they're closing all their restaurants. They're paying their people, but they're closing mm-hmm. their restaurants, and they're turning it all into lunches for people who need food. You just think, oh my gosh, and I mean, he's there. You know, they're all there cooking and serving food, right? It's not so. Not only are they feeding people and in that kind of generous way, but they're also really risking a lot to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's hope for us, Jill. There's hope for us as a species.
Yeah.
We may outlast the cockroaches and the ants in the final analysis.
Yeah, we'll do it hand in hand with the cockroaches. They can come too. They can come too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's such a pleasure to talk to you and connect. And
I just had this other thought. Because I've known you for a long time, and I've known, you know, when you were in New York, and then mm-hmm. I knew you when you moved to Philadelphia, and you got your little house, and, you know, you love your little house, and I just think I'm so happy for everybody, because it's not true, God knows, for a lot of people ever, but when it's time to hunker down in this way, to have a place that you love to be in order to do that, it's just a... You know, I just walk around all day long thanking everything in this house for being here for me. And, lots
me
to be
too.
Grateful for.
And the flowers are coming out, and, you know, it's no one told Mother Nature that that spring wasn't
right.
should hold
it's
off.
Like Michael Hummingbird, right? It's like,
exactly.
Thank God they didn't get the memo, right?
They're not sheltering
going
in place
on being
at
beautiful.
All.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jill. Right. Wonderful to hear
all
from
right.
you.
Yeah. Great to hear from you, too. Take care.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And Sherry, I'm going to go ahead and bring the next caller on here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Well, hello, Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. I just picked up the phone and said I'm double muted. I'm not sure I would even get on, but I better look at my phone. And it said, give me now.
There you are.
And here I am.
Uh-huh. And here you are. And here you are right up near the heart of the whole thing, huh? Not that it's not
well,
spreading
except
everywhere.
We're just, I don't know, you know, we moved out here, out in the county to get away from the big city. And I'm not gloating. I don't want to do that. But we feel so
But you're working. Grateful. Yeah.
I am so grateful. The sun is shining. The weather's beautiful. It's still cold, but we have been self-isolating for years. So we know how to practice that. And, you know, we live an hour away from most of the places we grocery shop. And, yeah, it's not hard for us to not have contact. So then we're a little worried about not having enough contact.
Uh-huh, but not now. You don't have to worry. You can let that worry go now.
Well, the truth is my primary contact with other people is we meet up for a walk. So
uh-huh.
it's just scheduling the next walk. Like, when are you available? Okay, let's go. We can stay 6 feet away and have a great time. Yeah.
And as people are saying, spring is happening, and you can be out and enjoying nature and, enjoy your life.
Yeah, so I am so thankful and so grateful. And, you know, who knows? It's just, as people have been saying on the morning radio show, we are all so fortunate. And something that I said to my listening buddy last week, I think is really true of us in this practice, is if we take care of ourselves, we are taking care of everyone. And that's what we've learned in practice. You know, as long as I'm healthy, as long as I am in this huge awareness of practice opportunity, how close am I? Where did I put my hand? When was the last time I, where are my shoes in relation to the umbrella? I mean, it is so fruitful for practice.
Yeah, it really is. And then from also from our, you know, place of great good fortune and ability to be present and take care of ourselves, we can also kind of keep an eye out for other folks who might not be as fortunate as we are, which is, again, always the case. You know, we're always mindful of that. But now it's so much more immediate. And and it's good to me. I one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I don't have to get so panicked that I need to own all the toilet paper in North America, but can have a sense that we might want to do some sharing of these resources that that people are so concerned about being limited at this point. And again, I seem to be on this kick, and maybe it's because of the morning show and the beginnings, but that's a wonderful thing to be aware of when this is over, and we're hoping at some point this is over, you know, to be aware of what is so for us, and then to be mindful of where other people are and how we might support or assist, or what kind of a contribution or participation we would like to have. That can just go right on, instead of what is tempting is, okay, well, whew, the emergency is over. Let's go to sleep. You know, we've got to rest up from all of that conscious awareness now with a little period of unconsciousness. And we don't. You can just stay just as tuned in.
Yeah, it goes back to that what's dropping in is the giver is already grateful. You know, it's just, we're so fortunate, we're so grateful, and it makes me feel really generous. You know, it's just like what comes my way. I have this, I've been watching, you know, all these different things going through, you know, different thoughts and emotions, and how is this going to, you know, all the way to I've got to hunker down and, you know, exactly what you just said, I've got mine, so I'm going to be all right so long as I have mine, to the other side of, well, we can share with others and, you know, we can take care of each other, and we have for years. I'm grateful for these wonderful neighbors, and we've taken care of each other for years, and we'll continue right on. So,
You know, the other thing, Greta, when you were saying that, or part of this conversation for me, I've been reflecting on, you know, this kind of lifestyle now. A lot of people will actually have more funds available than usual. Because if you don't go out to eat and you can't shop because there are no places to shop, you know, the entertainment is kind of going to be the whatever exists in the home, you know, probably through some kind of a screen. And so that's an opportunity to say, well, you know, ordinarily I might have spent this on dinner out, but I'm not going out, so maybe dinner for somebody else.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've offered my technologically challenged neighbors that I would show them how to download these resources from our library that are electronic. You know, the library is closed, but that doesn't mean we don't have access to things.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes, there you go.
Even here out in the boonies.
Yeah, there you go. That's not the kind of thing that you might have thought of or that somebody would have asked for or whatever. But now you have that to offer to somebody. That's great.
Yes, I've been trying to convince them for years. Now they might avail me of that option. But yes, and you know, none of this would be possible for me without practice. So I'm bowing to practice constantly for what has, you know, been manifest to me in my life, what I've been able to see and how I've been able to participate. Yep. So thank you again so much.
Yeah. Oh, you are so very welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Greta. And Sherry, I am also constantly bowing to practice. And I was appreciative. What came to mind, actually, as you two were talking, was that generosity wants to give. And to be in that open-hearted place during this time is a gift to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Because, again, it's so immediate, right? I mean, there's a way in which nothing is any different. You know, everything that's happening now has always been happening to one degree or another. And these kinds of things have always been happening to lots and lots and lots and lots of people. Lots of people with medical challenges and inability to be taken care of and not enough to eat and no work. And all of those things have existed. But now it's just so obvious to us. And I think that that's just, that opens our heart. And that has to be good for everybody. Certainly it's good for us, right? And we hope out of that, again, comes that generosity that will, you know, if nothing else, I think about this often, that it's not so much what we do or what we give or that sort of thing. It's that we care. That's what makes the difference, right? Yeah. It's the love that's, you know, it's Greta, you know, teaching her technologically challenged neighbors how to do something that will help them, that will make them happy or make them feel better or whatever it is that's going on, or Jill to be available for meetings and support groups and that sort of thing. It's the caring about one another that makes all the difference for us.
Yes. Yes. Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here, Shane.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sarah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you, Sarah. Yep. Hello.
Hi. I'm calling from Canada. This is my first time listening live, first time calling in.
Well, welcome. Good to have you with us. What part of Canada?
The Prairies.
Oh, all right. Well, that's big. So, okay.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of room out there.
Yes.
Oh, Alberta. Okay. All right. Okay.
So maybe this was addressed on last week's show. I'm not sure. But something I've been struggling with a lot in relation to trying to keep myself at home and properly social distance is kind of like this double bind that ego has put me in, where on the one hand, it's telling me that if I don't see my friends and family, who knows if I'll ever see them again. Some of them may die. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's telling me that if I don't social distance properly, I will be responsible for someone's death. So it's mm-hmm. really charged, and I've been recording and listening, and it's been helping a lot, but I'm also having trouble staying in that mentor space fully enough to really give myself the reassurance, I suppose, that I
yeah.
need.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Sarah, have you been aware of that first message before? I mean, if you're not in constant contact with people, they're gonna die, and or is this new with the pandemic?
That is new with the pandemic. The guilt part, the fear of being responsible for something, is not very new to me. I have had
yeah.
obsessive compulsive disorder all my life, and so this fear of contaminating others is very longstanding.
Yeah. Well, and this seems like really good news, right?
Okay.
Because now, to do the right thing, you're not going to contaminate anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's good, right? The difficult one is the first one, and
yes.
that's kind of a variation on a very standard theme that ego uses. Somebody is going to go on a trip, and ego mm-hmm. starts in with, you know, well, they're what if they die? You know, what if the, and then the implication is, of course, that you haven't loved enough, right? And then you're going to have to feel bad after they die, because you weren't the person you should. Is this part of it?
Yes. Yeah. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, how are you with that? With your friends and your family? Do you tend to let them know that you love them?
I think I do, but I think I have a lot of difficulty being present when I'm actually with them because I'm off with ego.
Well, now this is another good thing. You can't be with them. So it might be a wonderful time to build a bridge,
mm-hmm.
right? Because are they technologically challenged, or are they able to communicate with you, FaceTime and that sort
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, I think we could.
Yeah. Yeah. So it might be a wonderful opportunity to make all this clear to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess part of the fear for me is also that by distancing myself, I will be upsetting or hurting them. And so that's making having these conversations where I explain that.
Let me tell you a little story about that, okay? Because we have
okay.
somebody very close in our Sangha, has been around as long as this Sangha has been around, okay?
Uh-huh.
And it was her birthday.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a very big birthday. And so the family got together. And now they're in the hospital.
Wow.
So when that voice starts in about that, you can just say, no,
mm-hmm.
we are not having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can see what a setup it is for part two, where something happens and it's your fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that one, my encouragement is no, we are
okay.
not having that conversation. In fact, I just read something today, I think it was, where somebody said, you know, if you love people, stay away from them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way you can love people. Stay away from them. And so to be able to maybe communicate some of the things that are difficult for you to communicate in person, maybe you write it.
Okay.
Maybe you say it in a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Maybe, which can be kind of tricky, but, you know, to get past whatever discomfort there is and just say, you know, I don't know I don't know. I mean, I hope you know this. I really do hope you know this. But in case there's any doubt, I really love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can write letters to people that tell them what they've meant to you so far in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to just really acknowledge that it's true. Develop the habit of saying, I love you when you talk to family and friends.
Okay.
Don't forget I love you. Right?
Yes, yeah.
Because, again, ego will set us up that, oh, come on. You know, we're all going to live forever. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And then something happens to somebody, which something is going to happen to somebody at some point, you or somebody else, right? And mm-hmm. then, of course, we get the beating for. So if we're living our lives in every moment such that we can leave in any moment and we're fine with that, that's where we want to be.
Okay.
You know, everything is said. Everybody you love knows you love them. Then if you've got to go, they know you love them. If
okay.
they've got to go, they know you love them.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that is very helpful and a really good refocusing. I think.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
No. Finish that. That was a nice part to it.
Yes, I guess what I was going to say is part of having lived with obsessive compulsive disorder is that I am used to people telling me that my fears are incorrect and that I just need to fight through them or stop listening to them. And I suppose it's sort of liberating to be told that, no, this is a situation where my desire to stay where I am and help keep others safe, that's not the problem. That's not my OCD talking.
That's right. You know, I'll tell you something, Sarah. I don't know if you know me well enough to know that OCD has been a deal for me with every other mental illness known to humanity. And the thing that has made the biggest difference for me is recording and listening.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of mine was classic stuff, just mm-hmm. classic. Get, you know, 3 miles down the road. Did I turn that burner off? You know, that kind of, you know, I mean, textbook stuff.
Yes.
And then have to turn around and come back because there's no choice about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then getting to the point of being able to leave the house with the recorder on. Okay, turning off the stove, all the burners are off. Okay, turning off the heat. Yep, heat is off. Okay, boop, boop, boop. All right, here we are going out the door, locking the door.
Oh my God, I never thought of that.
Oh, yeah. It's 9:15 on Tuesday, the and then there you go. And so when those voices start in, you just turn on the recorder.
Okay.
And you got your proof.
Okay.
That's your friend.
Wow, thank you.
You are so welcome. Okay. Thanks for calling, Sarah. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Good
night. You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Sarah. I enjoyed that conversation, and I enjoyed the reassurance you provided, Sherry, and also the practical tool, you know, that we can use recording and listening for this, as well as anything else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is definitely our best friend, right, our greatest ally. It's wisdom, love, and compassion. It's support. It's somebody who wants to be with you in the middle of the night when you wake up and you're terrified and it's the best thing we've got going for us.
Yes. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our Zen Awareness Coaching Program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Zen Awareness Coaching supports us to look at the content of our lives through the lens of process. Through the 6 weekly sessions, we use content such as relationships, career, money, health, even spiritual practice itself. and get support for looking at it through the eyes of not what, but how. We use the tools of recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to see how we suffer so we can drop that and support the human to live in unconditional love and acceptance. People say that the structure and one-to-one support that coaching offers makes a huge difference in their lives. If you've ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and would like to work with a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Let Zen Awareness Coaching provide the support and structure for living in the how of presence.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from Berkeley.
Well, hello, Laura. Laura.
Hello.
How's it going for Laura in Laura's world?
Well, a lot better getting to connect with Sangha.
Oh, good. You were kind of happy that the year-long started?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
It's definitely, like you say, everything feels more immediate right now.
Stakes are higher, aren't they? Everything is just ratcheting up.
The thing, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to talk about, but the thing that was kind of coming up for me just listening to other callers was just noticing sort of the story from conditioning of, like, other people are suffering or they're going to be suffering, and it's just this feeling of powerlessness and this feeling like I'm not doing enough. And that nothing I ever do could be enough.
Which is probably not all that new, right?
No.
Because people have always been suffering, and you've never done enough.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's actually good to remember. This is the same story that it always tells me.
Yeah, and that's such a tactic of ego, right? Yeah, but this is really real. Yeah, but this is different. Right. And you go, really?
Yeah.
People are suffering. I'm not doing enough. What is actually different about this?
Yeah, like I was noticing my boyfriend was, you know, because I think something that has been helping him has been sort of thinking about others who are worse off and, you know, sort of to remind him that he, you know, has relatively doing fine.
You?
And
for you, he has you for one thing. You can remind him of that, right?
Yes, that's right. But he was talking about, he's like, well, just remember, and then he's like, you know, talking about this, you know, person that he's in contact with who's got this, you know, who's in this terrible situation. And, you know, thank goodness we're not in that kind of situation. And I just had this resistance, and I was like, what is that resistance to him telling me about this? And it was, like, what came up was, like, don't tell me about one more person I can't help. Don't tell me about one more person I can't save.
Right, because all I'm going to do with that is feel bad.
Yeah.
So how is it helpful to me to have this picture in my mind of some another suffering person that I can't do anything about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, what did you get to about that?
Well, that was what kind of helped me realize that I just was upset, you know, just about the situation. I didn't even realize that part of the suffering was this feeling that I want to help. I feel like I have to, I should be able to, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, you know, well, you could just give away all your money and whatever, but you're not. Like you're,
and then hope that somebody would feel sorry for you and give you all of their money, right? But that's probably not going to happen, so, right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, Laura, are you in touch with the part of you, if we want to talk about it that way, who feels like that, who just gets kind of overwhelmed with sadness?
You know, I haven't really done any recording yet, you know, about recently about that.
Because that might be really helpful to do a two-handed recording and let that person talk about and get some support for, you know, kind of clarity about things like we're all adequate to our lives. And, right? And so we can assist where we can assist, but that's not the same as somebody isn't adequate to their life.
Yeah. That's really, that's very helpful to remember. Like that place of, I don't know, a therapist told me years ago, it's like after a friend had passed away, you know, it's just because something is really sad doesn't mean that it's bad, you know.
Right. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where I go to is in my own life, the places that I've gone through that probably we would all agree, well, that's sad. And they were important pieces of my life. They were things that I went through and came out the other side, and I knew I was different for having gone through it. And so would I say I wish I hadn't gone through that? Probably not. I would wish that I had, in those times, that I had had better tools for assisting the person who was going through it. But that's not the same as I wish I hadn't gone through it.
Yeah.
Because truth be told, that's probably where I got the tools.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Yeah, you said something in the email class, this last email class, about it's like, would any of us actually really want to be saved? You know, like that, and I think kind of a similar, like the same thing. That
yes.
When I look back at my life, no, I wouldn't have wanted that, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, I don't want you to come in and solve my problems for me. Right? I don't. I might gripe to you endlessly about my problems. But if you notice, when you say, well, you could do that, or you could, so it's clear. No, they're my problems. I'm clinging to them, and I'm going to have them for as long as I have them. And I don't want any help with them. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't want to be disempowered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to perceive ourselves. I mean, we might be willing to perceive ourselves as inadequate, but we sure as the Dickens don't want somebody else to see us that way.
No.
All right. So now you don't have to be annoyed with him, right? You can just get on the recorder and talk to that person, because you know, not that I'm saying, you know, we need to take care of other people in the way that I'm saying, but we don't actually know what it's taking care of in him to be able to say this. You know, to be able to say it out loud might be a way of, you know, getting it outside, not having to just have it inside and going over and over and over and feeling bad about it or feeling helpless or hopeless or whatever it is. If we can be all right within ourselves, then how other people need to process things isn't so troubling to us.
Yeah. Well, thank
all
you.
Right.
Very,
well,
very
thank
grateful
you, Laura.
For Sangha right now.
thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more call, perhaps two.
All right. We'll see how we do.
See how we do. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Tracy.
Hello, Tracy.
Hi. I'm so surprised. I tried to get on this. Anyway, my heart jumped. I'm happy to be here.
you just didn't expect this. All right.
No.
Well, that's
not
very
at
good.
All
right. What's going on?
Well, that last caller was fabulous. It's just what I needed to. I always need to be reminded that when we're in relationship with other people, we never want to be anything but really just compassionate.
Oh, there. Whatever you just did, you're much clearer. Before that, you sounded like
good.
In Colorado or somewhere. Yeah.
I know. It sounded like I'm all holed up somewhere.
Right. Exactly.
But just that place of not, like, how we can be with people in terms of just offering compassion, just being with them. And mm-hmm. anything more than that, we don't want to disempower that through our own struggles we get to, gain so much wisdom. So anyway, that was helpful to hear. And
I've been
looking at a really interesting place around the email, the year-long that just started. And it's a place I've been looking at for a little while. And so today I had a phone call with this girl in middle school. We did it on the phone instead of in person. And mm-hmm. I met with her. She wanted, she was reaching out to, she had gotten my name from a teacher around gratitude. And so I showed up for the call. And after the call with her, it was a lovely conversation. And I saw an orientation. And my orientation is when I got this invitation to talk to her, I said yes. And then without a conversation, the next thing I did was reach out to someone that I know that does research on gratitude to see if they had any, research that they could share on this age group and gratitude. And that's what dropped into that. That was the next step. And so I'm seeing this interesting place of it dropped in, I did it, I had contact with this person, I received something. And then when I got off the phone call with this girl today, I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know what I needed for this call. And my orientation seems to be I always need something more than just presence.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure, because if it drops in to take the step,
well,
then maybe
here's the thing. Here, this is what the real issue, right? So it dropped in. First of all, did it drop in? Because if I'm going along and somebody, I don't know what they're going to do, but they do, and then it drops in for me to, well, does that always drop in? Because if it always drops in, it might not be a drop in. So if do you know what I mean by that? That was hard for me to follow.
I think what I'm tracking is if what always drops in is me looking for something.
That's right. And so
is it
a dropping
open
in, or is it a conditioned reaction?
Yeah.
And so that's one piece that I think is really, really important for us to look at. Because if ego can convince us that our conditioned knee-jerk reaction is life dropping something in, it's got clear sailing. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, that said, what you got to see as a result of this is that is your conditioned knee-jerk reaction. So, it's not like it's a bad thing that it happened. Right? It's
no,
like a workshop.
Not a bad thing at all.
That's right. You got to see this. So ego would say, well, you don't know what dropping in is versus ego reaction. You don't know what that is. So that was really a mistake to do that. See how you are. You just always look to an expert, and you just always abandon yourself, and you think that there's something that you need other than being present. No, none of that is true. It's that you got to see that really clearly. So the next time that it happens, you're going to be suspicious. Huh, did that just drop in? Or is that just a karmic conditioned reaction? So what if I don't do that, right? I like to play those fun little games with ego, okay? So if life dropped it in, and if I don't do it, it doesn't matter. Life doesn't get its nose out of joint if I don't do what it says, okay? So, but ego does. Ego really does, right? So it tells me, well, you need to call that friend of yours, that expert on that subject, and make sure that you, oh, yeah, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you better. You don't know anything about this. Yeah, how are you going to, okay, and it starts a campaign. And then you can get it. Uh-huh. All right. That was not life. That was ego.
Oh, I'm
sick. Did all that hang together?
So hung together. Because I'm watching, like, if something drops in from life, like, get raisins, and I don't get raisins, and then I get home, and I think, oh, my God, I need raisins. And I think, duh, I didn't listen. But there wasn't any conversation when I didn't get the raisins. Versus this, if I don't listen to, you know, reaching out to the expert, it kicks up the conversation.
That's right. That's right, because
okay.
Ego is invested
cool.
not in you doing well, certainly. It's not invested in you doing well. It's invested in you being controlled.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, people could go through an entire lifetime always looking for the expert, always looking for the more information, always looking for, so I need one more class, I need one more this, I need one more that, as a way of being kept out of presence, right?
Yeah.
But they're never going to know that the whole point of that is being kept out of presence, or the whole point of that is, in addition to being kept out of presence, believing that you're inadequate, which really serves ego, right? It's under the belief system of, well, but you need a little more support. You need a little more help. You need a little more, right? So it sounds so positive.
Well, yes and no. Today, what I really got was the whole orientation is lack. Like, this person is lacking always when I'm
going there. That's right. But you were not supposed to see that, Tracy. You weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah.
You were supposed to just stay in that humble place of, you know, always looking to an authority to, to give you what you need.
Right. That I don't have what I need. It feels like
that's
everything
right.
comes down to, I don't have what I need. I have to
get Well, it's worse
something.
Than that. It's worse than that. Life doesn't have what you need. Not
well,
only can
not
you not count
to
on
life.
You. That's right. Not only can you not count on you, you can't count on life. So you better have an expert in every field, right? Because otherwise, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Isn't that
fun
to see?
It's just so awful. I mean, awful in the way of, it's so
well,
hideous, and yet so it's crazy the believability of it. Like looking at it like that, I think, oh my God, this is so ludicrous. And
that's right.
I'm so firmly in the grips of it too, and it feels like it just
that's
gets
right.
not it like subtler. I mean, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over for years, but it just keeps like I'm seeing how it's just. There's a lot of times not words or anything. It's just a movement. It's just what happens next.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, when spiritual types talk about it, sometimes we forget that waking up and ending suffering kind of hints to us that we have been asleep. And that's how we've been suffering the way we've been suffering. So we have to wake up out of this deep sleep that ego has put us into, this hypnotic state, right? And that's what awareness practice is. That's what we're doing here, is waking up out of that in exactly that way. And as soon as you see it, as you say, it's ludicrous. How could I believe, which is the next place ego likes to beat people up. How could you have believed that all those years? That is stupid, right? Well, because that's how it works. Because we're deeply asleep. And we're in the process of waking up. And if we enjoy it, if it becomes like a game, to go, oh, that's amazing. I never saw that. That is great. I love that. I got to make a recording of that so I don't forget it. You know, we can't be stopped. But what we're supposed to do is feel bad. Right? We're supposed to, feel bad. Not only are you an inadequate person, but you're a person who believes you're inadequate, and then you're constantly looking to other people, you weakling. And then, not only that, none of that is true, but you fell for it for all of these years. What is the matter with you? It's just a whole progression of ways that ego has to keep us locked, keep us enthralled to it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them.
Yes, we've all got them. And
all of
that's
them, everyone
the last
you
point. Yeah, that's the last point, Tracy. I think that's how we are positioned to have great compassion for one another. Because as with the pandemic, with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, we are all in this together. We are all sleepwalking around through life, waking up just as quickly as we can. Thank God it is the waking up process is way less painful than the sleeping process. So we can look at other people and think, what is the matter with nothing. They're asleep just like I am.
And that's such a beautiful reminder, because like you were just saying, that the allure to feeling bad about being asleep and getting conned of what we've been conned to is strong. And when we realize none of it's a problem, that it's all fine exactly the way it is.
Each one of us is doing this at our own pace.
Yeah.
Right, so I might be really clear about something that you can't see at all, but you're really clear about things that I can't see at all. So again, compassion is our friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad I got on. Thank you.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. What fun.
You're
all right,
so grateful.
Well, take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you.
Enjoy the hunkering down.
Michael.
All right.
Oh, I'm actually
you're
busy.
Welcome.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Sherry, the humor, I think, in addition to the compassion, is just absolutely essential piece of the whole deal.
I think so, too. Without it, oh, my gosh. It's way too hard. And I have to tell you, Michael, that one of the happiest things that has happened to me today is picturing you there in your little home office with your hummingbird. I just love that. So you got to keep me posted on the family's progress there as the house gets built and
I will.
The parents move in the children begin to arrive. And all right. Thank you, sir. So appreciate it.
Yes.
Say it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, say it.
The hummingbird just landed as you were talking. So
there.
Doing its thing. See, you called it in.
Called it forth. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.